go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Today, that was not the case at this year's Players' Championship. Good for them, right? Good for the pros. We don't want them whining. Does anyone whine more than a PGA Tour player? Well, you do, Ballew. Good point. But I get paid to whine. I don't get paid to go tee to fairway, fairway to green, then make a putt. And I still think that's going to be really intriguing as we move along, right, with the Valspar tomorrow and the Snake Pit, and before you know it, it'll be Augusta. The odds already out for Scottie Scheffler. Record-setting odds right now, minus 500, the lowest since 2013 when Tiger Woods was minus 350. And I think some folks will be hedging their bets. If we get closer to that, I wouldn't be shocked if it's around 400. Or so. We'll have much more golf upcoming. No wind, though. And, you know, the course was in such spectacular shape. But I think one of the unwritten rules of the Players' Championship and in golf in general is what is the common denominator when you want to make the golf course tougher compared to it being beautiful, right? Like, think of your mother-in-law. Beautiful. Right? And she's sitting there watching the third round. You're like, you know, she's right in the middle of their backswing. And she, just because mother-in-laws are so awesome and they're so beautiful, she wants to go up and get you a lemonade or maybe a pound cake or something like that. And you're like, no, mother-in-law, it's just beautiful to spend this great afternoon with you watching golf. But if you're out in Alaska or you're out in Oregon, or you're out in San Francisco, if you're in Massachusetts or throughout New England, and you look at the players, you're like, why do they have brown spots on the green? Why can't they water the green? Not knowing that if you do that, it's going to make those greens softer. It's going to make the approach that much easier. And they're going to be rolling putt after putt after putt. Never been able to get confirmation on this. Never been able to get anyone to look back at me and say, ah, you're on to something, but where do you draw the line between trying to make it more difficult for the PGA Tour player and trying to make it more, you know, and easier on the eyes for those who are going to be headed here now and throughout April and May and June and July and during the off season to take their golf trip, the pilgrimage with the boys each and every year to play a round of golf somewhere. The revenue they generate in the offseason is enormous. It's pricey to play over there. And as you know, it's public. Anyone can play. You just got to fork up the cash. And I guess they put together these great deals with the hotels and dinners. You know, you play the Dive Alley course, you play the stadium course. So anyway, to be continued. We won't do a lot of golf tonight. We won't do any more golf tonight, as a matter of fact. But it was a day in which I had a lot of stuff to do. I actually did some yard work today. Tried my best to do it wrong, so the GF would be like, forget about it. Let's just hire someone to do it. See, I'm always going to try to give you advice, and that's one of my most accurate efforts of all time. If the mother-in-law, if the wife, if the ex-wife, if anyone asks you to do something, do it. Just do it wrong. Then you never get asked again, right? And just hand over the credit card and say, hire someone to do it for us. All right, change, 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 right? David Bowie changes. Everything changes. I'm not a big fan of change. I like to keep it simple, stupid, right? The old Kiss, didn't your old high school coach kind of gave you like those two rules of thumb, the keep it simple, stupid approach, the Kiss. And then don't assume, right? If you assume, it makes an ass out of you and me. You know, it's kind of like it wasn't straight from the Lombardi syllabus, but somehow, somewhere, that kind of made its way into every coach who ever wore tight bike shorts. Which, for the record, and I say this in an extremely comfortable way. It's time to bring those bad boys back. I want my coaches in tight bike shorts. Is there any way we can figure that out, JJ? Can maybe we start a trend here?
And like those
on sports radio,
those, you know, really tight shirts with the collar on. Yeah, I'm just thinking of like the enemy coach from Bad News Bears from the 70s, like that exact outfit.
Oh, man, that guy was so cool with the mustache.
Yeah.
I swear I saw him on some, never mind.
Some
it's
films,
a family show.
Yeah.
Some late night adult film. Yeah, because I think it was called Buttermaker Returns to the Field. I don't know exactly, but I don't want to see the old tight Larry Bird, Dr. Julius Erving, Moses Malone, those type of shorts that they wore back then in the NBA. That never really did it for me. You know, a football uniform doesn't do it for me, but there was just something about growing up, seeing a coach, because those bike shorts, what they did, they really have this ability to tuck in your gut. You can fold an inch, maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches, pull it up just a little bit, you know, right towards the navel, and you can get away with it a little bit. So, yes, I want to start today's show by, since everything is changing right in front of our eyes, let's bring back those tight bike coaches shorts for all you folks. I know a lot of coaches listen because I hear from you on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Don't be a follower. Hell, you're a coach. You're a leader. Set a trend. Let us know about it. Please, just don't send any pictures, okay? We got a lot to do tonight. He is JJ LaSalva. I am Rick Ballew. Speaking of change, they did it a couple of years ago, right? 64 wasn't good enough for the NCAA tournament. Let's scratch that. Let's go to 68. We had two last night. It was Wagner over Howard. We had Colorado State just blow out Virginia. What's happened to that program? Do you realize that Virginia has not won an NCAA tournament basketball game since they won it all in 2019? And if memory serves me correct, the year prior to that, they were the first, and I want to say only, number one seed to go down to a number 16 seed. So Virginia, it kind of felt like they had, you know, hopped on to Tobacco Road, and they were there with UNC, and they were there with Duke as kind of the cream of the crop within the Atlantic Coast Conference. And, you know, last week we saw Jim Phillips stand up and yell how, you know, competitive fire and you need to allow these more teams into the ACC. Of course, NC State went on and won the tournament, so they got the automatic berth. Noticeably absent, of course, was Jim Phillips doing any of that back during the last college football playoff, which a lot of people thought as well was an invitational. Jim Phillips said nothing in favor of Florida State before the college football playoff. Tonight we have two more games, including one 30 minutes away, Grambling and Montana State. We are going to keep you updated. I'm happy to announce it's on True TV. I'm also happy to announce we have True TV. So we're going to keep you updated on this game. Montana State favored by 4.5 tonight. Your total 145.5. 134.5.
Quickly, Virginia was the first one seed to lose to a 16, but last year we also had Purdue.
Really?
So there has been two.
Purdue lost last year. How could I forget that?
Because it's NCAA basketball.
Yeah. Also tonight, Colorado and Boise State, a couple of 10 seeds. The winner gets Florida, and that'll be Friday afternoon right around 4:30 or so. So we get a couple of ball games tonight, and then we get 16 tomorrow, 16 on Friday. Hey, make sure you join us out around Fleming Island tomorrow. We'll be out at Mr. Chubby's. Always a fantastic time out there. Love it. Something about those people out there in Fleming. In Fleming Island, good people. I don't know, but proud stock that you are from. So we'll be out there tomorrow. Going to have a big time. Really looking forward to it. Once we get on, four games will be final. Four will be wrapping up. Then we'll have eight more that will tip off. So it's always one of the greatest 2 days in sports. You can really say 4 days. You know, when you filter into Saturday and Sunday, where you get eight more contests, but if you are a basketball lover, there's not much better than the NCAA tournament. So again, if you're out there, please come on by and say hello. We'll be at Mr. Chubby's. I'll be there 6 to 8, and then Hacker Nation. And wait till you see Hacker, man. I mean, what's he down, about 30?
Oh, at least. It's got to be way more than that by now.
Kid looks
good. I would say it's closer to 40.
Kid looks good. Now, listen, ladies, I don't want to disappoint you. That is a happily married man with little Hacker Jr., his great little son, Forrest. Okay? But my wife, my girl, did I just call her my wife?
You did.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Can you take, is there a kangaroo court? I mean, I know I've been with her for 15
I'll
years.
I'll dump that.
She don't want to marry me. Let's be honest. She don't want to do it. But she's given me kind of like this new, because everything is about change. She told me that if I cross those sticks and head over to Fleming, it's all go for me tomorrow night. All right? So, I mean, we have that to look forward to, at least my attempt, at least my effort. And, you know, I've never done it on the cell phone like you kids do nowadays where you sweep left, sweep right. Do you talk? Do you kids talk? Or is everything on the phone?
I've never talked to my wife once.
Very, very good. So, you know, we'll find that out. And you know, the divorcee crowd who heads my way. All right. You know, three packs a day, three kids at home. You're working on your third marriage. I get it. I get it. I know that's the, you know, the particular dimension that I find myself in. But we're going to have a lot of fun out there tomorrow. Matter of fact, I may Uber out and Uber home. I think it could be one of those type of nights out there on a Thursday, myself, and then Hacker Nation coming up 6 to 8. All right, would change. I just shared it with Frank and the guys, but this really boils my blood. How dare Major League Baseball open up their season in South Korea? I mean, how pathetic is that? For those of you who don't know, they played at 6 a.m. Ohtani had a couple of hits. 5-2 victory for Los Angeles over San Diego, which, for the record, is really turning into one of the really good rivalries in Major League Baseball. Yeah, it's Southern California, but, you know, I'd much rather see the 10:05 Eastern time starts, those late night starts. And, you know, we got the NFL owners meetings next week. There's a bunch of stuff I'm going to get into on that coming up here momentarily, including, once again, more change in a proposal of doing something with the kickoff to try to create more returns. We'll get there in just one moment. But it seems like no matter what we are involved in, right, no matter what the sport is, time and again, it's change, it's change, it's change. It's Florida State, it's Georgia Tech, August 24th this year. They're going to play in Dublin City, Ireland. Okay, cool. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. The only change that I've liked as of late is we're finally going to a 12-team college football playoff with talks that we're close to a 14-team college football playoff by the year of 2026. But just imagine for one moment, and whenever I talk baseball, I'll check the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. I'm guaranteed, just by mentioning the Dodgers and Padres and Ohtani, I'm guaranteed to get a few, don't talk baseball. Baseball's boring. Don't talk baseball. I don't like it. Don't talk baseball. This is a football town. I understand the audience. I'm never going to stay that far away from the bread and butter of this city, and that, of course, is Jaguar football. But just imagine for one moment, when you look at these other sports that are grasping, ratings were down in enormous drop 2 weeks ago in Bay Hill. A drop 3 weeks ago at the Cognizant. I haven't seen the way it was ratings-wise at the Players. I have to believe they were up, especially on Sunday, where we got the best hour of golf so far this year.
I don't know about that. They lost out to NASCAR on Sunday.
Did they really?
They did.
Wow. I thought NASCAR was dying.
It is.
That's kind of my point. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, numbers are down, down, down. College football numbers actually did rise this past year. I think a lot of that is because they didn't put them on New Year's Eve the way they did a couple of years ago. But just imagine for one moment with Ohtani, who signed for $700 million. He's the biggest star in the game. He opens up his career with a genuine, I don't use the term blue blood in baseball. To me, that's a college football term. But even though the Dodgers were in Brooklyn at the same time as the New York Giants and the New York Yankees, can you imagine Willie Mays, Duke Snider, and Mickey Mantle in the outfield at the same time? Can you imagine sitting in a bar room in the 50s, arguing with your buddies who the better outfielder was? Willie Mays, Duke Snider, or Mickey Mantle? Mickey might have been sitting right next to you, double-fisted, the way that he used to get after it. But opening up at 6 a.m., my guess is there's still some of you out there listening right now that probably aren't even aware of this. Let's just say for the conversation that football really dumbed itself down because there are warning signs. We're going to play in Germany. We're playing in London. We're playing in Mexico. You know, we're going to play in Brazil. All this, it's nonsense. You shouldn't play out of the United States of America. Okay, you should play right here for the good people of the USA. Screw London. Screw Germany. Screw Korea. Screw, I mean, who cares? Why would you take the, you need that much more money. How selfish are these owners in professional athletics? Why not give back to your fans for crying out loud? So let's just say that Ohtani, who went from the Angels to the Dodgers, kind of like Tom Brady going from New England to Tampa Bay. And to start Tom Brady's career, they dropped the matchup on you at 6 a.m. from South Korea. This is what Major League Baseball did to their fans. Those who are long in the tooth, remember how amazing opening day used to be every single year. Riverfront Stadium, Cincinnati, Ohio, first pitch. It was tradition. The place was sold out. Folks played hooky. Kids got out of school. There was something about it. And now, there's nothing we can do. And I understand that that's probably not going to register with you. You're going to say there's no way the NFL would do that. Okay, I guess the NFL is smarter in a lot of these instances. And for what it's worth, some of you out there actually like those 9:30 a.m. Eastern time games on Sunday, right? That gives you one at 9:30, gives you one at 1, gives you one just after 4, gives you one at night. Gives you four games or four different time slots on a Sunday. For many of us, that is absolutely spectacular. But how can they not see this? How can they not understand this? It's amazing to me. And it's another pretty big miss by Major League Baseball, in my opinion. All right, coming up tonight, we got a lot of good stuff to do. I'm really looking forward to the program. I have some numbers here on the Jaguars that may catch you off guard because this is the feeling I have. And I'm feeling an awful, I'm feeling a lot and a lot and a lot, of a different emotion, really a plenty different emotions that are going through you tonight right here on this Thursday, okay? But most of them are better. The Jags are on the come. The Jags are a better team right now, tonight, than they were when they couldn't pick up 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 from goal. This soft-ass franchise didn't even try to run the football. 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 from goal line. I mean, they tried the old 39 periwinkle. They didn't even try to pick up a yard. And then they walked back this offensive line. All right, whatever. Whatever. I'm over it, okay? I sense you're feeling positive about this team. You feel better about this team right now than you did after they lost 5 out of their last 6. I've heard all your complaints. I listened to you. No one's more interactive with our listeners than JJ and I are on our text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Shoot one. I respond to you all, right, or as many as I can. I love your input, but I do. It's only been 2.5 months, and I sense that the arrow is pointed up, and you feel really good about where this team is now compared to the way they ended their season. Is that the way Las Vegas feels? I have some numbers. We'll take a look at them. Also, with what this team has done as far as free agency and re-signing their own players, is this team better now than it was when the season ended? And where are they in comparison to Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Houston? I think you're going to be really surprised by this. We're going to start with it on the other side. Plus, the very latest on Eric Armstead. Finally have his guaranteed money in his contract. It's basically a two-year deal with some dead cap money in year three. If he gives you 2 years, then one or two things can happen, right? You get what you paid for at the age of 33. If you still got a little something left in the tank, you can always restructure that deal. Yes, I did hear what he said via Zoom on Monday. He believes he's got 5 or 6 years left. We know that he's missed 13 games in the last 2 years, including battling back from surgery and the torn meniscus. Seems to be ahead of where he wants to be, which is comforting. Had an ankle a year ago. And, you know, I think the book on him is late July, August. As a matter of fact, I would not be shocked at all if when things begin at the Miller Electric Center in the latter part of July, if we hear that Eric Armstead is beginning training camp on the PUP list. Yeah, I don't know that. It's mid-March. I'm just saying that when you're a veteran like that, I don't think you force the recovery, right? You got to listen to the body. And it seems like every training camp around here, there's been some important ones, right? James Robinson a couple of years ago. May not seem like a lot now, but it was then. Don't kid yourself. DeJuan Smoot last year, to some extent. Certainly Travis Etienne, who hurt himself early in training camp a couple of years ago. Lost for the season the following year when he battled back. So just a couple off the top of my head. Schmunez Vision. They bring you comments as we get things rolling each and every evening here on Into the Night with Rick Ballew. And, you know, there's so much I want to say about your eyes. And the thing that I just don't get is, no matter what it is with your body, if something goes sideways, you panic and you immediately seek professional help, right? No matter where it is in your body, if you feel a twinge or something, I mean, you just get me to a doctor. But when it's your eyes, you're kind of like, you know, I really can't see. I visited a professional today. I won't say who it was. But we were looking out the back of his office, and he's like, is that a snake? And I'm like, man, I hope so. You know, and it wasn't. It was a stick. And I'm like, bro, you need to get your eyes checked, man. I mean, what's up? It's only like 20 yards away. So, you know, there's just one example of a guy who can't see. And I think so many of us out there are right in front of our face, the opportunity to see and see better. We don't take advantage of that. Schmunez is your full stop and your one stop when it comes to your eyesight. A family organization, they focus on personal high-quality medical and surgical eye care. That includes the surgery that Dr. Neil Schmunez performed on my right eye 8.5 years ago. It is just outstanding what they can do. And that is everything when it comes to your eyes, for your family, whether it's your grandparents, your kids, no matter what. I want you to look at them. Just go to Schmunez Vision. That is Schmunez Vision. Care you can see. All right. We're very, very busy tonight. We are. Really looking forward to the next couple of hours to be with you. Let's get things rolling with some numbers here on the Jaguars. And then the very latest on Eric Armstead, the newest member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you want to join the conversation, as always, the best way to get us is on Twitter and or X. That's Baloo1010XL, or on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That's 641-1010.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
When I passed you in the doorway,
March is the month of the Irish. That includes Thin Lizzy, the original band from Dublin City, Ireland.
Dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in the spotlight. It's alright.
Long gone is Phil. Phil Einaudi, he died at the age of 36. Heroin. And, you know, the word is that when you go, when you die, certain organs and what have you in the body still move. You know, they're still alive. Not with Phil Lynott. The word is that when he went, everything just stopped all at once at the tender age of 36. They officially say he died of pneumonia, but he was a heroin addict. There's so many of them were back in that time period as rock and rollers. Check him out, kids. Look him up. It's Thin Lizzy. You won't find him in Cleveland at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
really?
But you can find Devo there, right? So just give it a rest, Baloo. New thing, Lizzy guy?
I only know the Boys Are Back in Town, really. I think
you know Jailbreak.
Heard, okay, then yeah.
Play the beginning of Jailbreak. I mean, Jailbreak's
tonight,
got...
there's gonna be Jailbreak.
Oh, man. I mean, it's one of the best, I think, rhythm guitars, lead guitars, combination, solid bass line.
Let me watch a 10-second ad from YouTube.
Well, quick. Yeah, YouTube's going to do that too. But, yeah, absolutely. And Whiskey in a Jar. I mean, it's an acquired taste. You know, they didn't have a lot of hits, like obviously U2 did.
Right.
I could see this being like stripper music in the mid-70s. I could see Bambi to the front stage, Charisse and Sapphire to the shower room. In the meantime, Thin Lizzy, Jailbreak.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down.
Be a great time for me to tell you, $1 oysters tonight at the Blue Crab Crab House. Open till 9:30, right off of San Jose. They are located on Julington Creek Road. Best seafood in town. Good folks over at the Blue Crab Crab House.
His vocals are just like...
oh, he's phenomenal.
Exactly.
Man. And he doesn't look like he sounds.
He looks like a skinnier, taller Jimi Hendrix almost.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a Hendrix. Got a little bit of a... oh, gosh, what was his name? Kind of a comic. A little bit of a younger Richard Pryor.
I could see that.
Tiny bit. But... you know, and he wasn't born in Ireland. He was born in England, but because of racism and all the problems over there, they moved to Dublin, and that's where,
his mom was Irish.
Yeah, the band put themselves together. It's an acquired taste, but if you're looking for some good music, perhaps that you missed way back when, I certainly do recommend Thin Lizzy. All right, I found this, and it surprised me. It honestly did today, because I've given my opinion every night on what I think Trent Baalke has done so far. In my opinion, the biggest mistake that he made was letting Darius Williams go. All right. I know you brought back $11 million. I know you only had to eat $500,000. I just thought and still do think that he could have really helped out this football team. He wasn't the best member of the secondary a year ago by mistake. And I understand that you're going to tell me that with a new system and more press coverage and more man that he didn't fit into it. Okay. Only time will tell. I would have brought him back. I wouldn't have re-signed Ezra Cleveland. I wouldn't have restructured the deal of Brandon Sheriff. I wouldn't. I would have moved on. I would have gotten two different guards. Trent Baalke didn't listen to me, okay? Calvin Ridley deal, he asked for too much money. There's no way I would have paid that price tag for Calvin Ridley. He got it. He got it in the AFC South. Congratulations to him. I look at this, it's eerie. It reminds me of a year ago with Juwan Taylor. There's no way that Trent Baalke should have paid Juwan Taylor $20 million a year to be the right tackle. He made the right move there. I think he made the right move this year by going out and not bringing back Calvin Ridley. So what does this team do? Mitch Morris is a center. Gabe Davis, obviously, as a running back. I'm talking about really the premier signings. Okay, Savage is a safety. You go out, you get Eric Armstead to really solidify that defensive line. I think if you look at who they had and who they have now, and you kind of went compare and contrast and what is better, what is worse, in my opinion, they're better. Okay? They are. Even though I question those three moves that I said at the top. Well, you look at what's going on in Las Vegas, and the very latest now, according to BetOnline at betonline.ag, back on February 12th, which is about a month ago, I guess it's 5 weeks ago, Jacksonville 33-1 to win this year's Super Bowl. Updated yesterday, they're now 40-1. That's not an enormous move during the offseason because I don't think that, you know, handicapper after handicapper or professional gambler after professional gambler is going to the window right now to make their futures with, you know, the NFL draft 35 days away. That would just be my guess. And then, as we know, with the preseason, injuries can happen and what have you. I could be wrong. There could be some who spend an awful lot on it and take a flyer, you know, months out. I think most of us wait right until the season is getting set to get underway, right? I mean, didn't I say last year as a non-bettor, didn't I tell you to bet everything that you own on the Jaguars winning the AFC South? I did. And I'm around for it. I'm around to take your punch. I'm around to be told, Baloo, you do not know what the hell you are talking about. Don't ever give out betting advice again. And that's fair. That's probably one of the reasons why I do not bet. But still, going from 33-1 to 40-1, that's still a move. This surprises me. It does. Does it surprise you at all? Or do you think it's a little cat and mouse game here by the folks in Las Vegas? Maybe it's as simple as the Jaguars last year at this time was all the talk to win the AFC South and make a run. That talk is lessened this year, certainly behind Houston.
Yeah, I think at this point they just like put out a line and let the bettors, you know, not a crazy line, but let the bettors move it, you know, whichever way the money moves it. It's so early. You know, I think it's just all the CJ Stroud stuff, man. Like, the hype for CJ Stroud is real. And if you ask anyone national, you know, media guy, they would probably put him ahead of Trevor. Yeah. You know, like, here, that's not a thing. But, and that's sort of what you bet on at this point in the season is, who's the better quarterback? We're going to put this team ahead of this team because their quarterback's better. Like, I don't really put too much thought into a line this early.
I think a lot of people think Houston had a spectacular free agency class. I mean, by getting Autry, getting Daniil Hunter, making the trade for Joe Mixon.
By looking at, like, the offseason grades, absolutely. They pretty much all of them have Houston. National guys have Houston above the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Jags had a bad offseason, but they all have Houston above them.
Well, let me, before I get back to this, let me take a quick peek here. They did re-sign Dalton Schultz. They kept Fairburn, their kicker. Let's see, Chris Boyd, a corner, a safety, Eric Murray, very affordable deals. Kept Desmond King. Well, they signed Foley Fatakusi, right? I don't know about that one. The Jeff Okuda deal is mind-boggling to me. 1 year, $4.75 million. Maybe he's more of a name than he is an actual player at this particular time. I'm really going to key in on him now that he's in the AFC South.
Third team already.
Yeah, I mean, he's well-traveled.
Third overall pick. Yeah.
But this is what, year four?
I believe.
Danico Autry is a really good football player. $20 million over 2 years. Okay, I mean, you get him and Danielle Hunter. along with the second first-round draft pick of a year ago and Will Anderson Jr. I mean, all of a sudden, that Houston defensive line is really imposing. You know, making the trade for Joe Mixon was a surprise to me, but I got to believe that there's a guy that's got a...
I forgot about that.
That's got something... that's got something left. So, and I'll get to the grades here in just 1 second. I want to stay in the AFC South, though, as far as the very latest from betonline.ag. Houston right now is the favorite to win the AFC South, plus 150. You hit on $100, you win back $150. Jacksonville's plus 200. Well, you hunge, you get back two. Indianapolis plus 275. You lay down $100, you get back 275. Tennessee plus 900. Okay? There's your very little risk for a big time reward. You lay down $100, you get back 900.
You know, I'm not shocked that the Texans are favored. I'm looking at a different sports book, and it's sort of similar, but it's like Texans plus 160, Jags 220, Colts 260. I'm not surprised the Texans are in first. I'm more surprised at how close the odds for the Colts are to the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts, Anthony Richardson, I guess, looked good for a game and a half that he even played, you know, like a few games. But Minshew's gone. I that's crazy to me. I would flip-flop them and the Titans. Like, the Titans being 9-1 is crazy to me. That's a lot of money.
A lot of people across the NFL completely erase the rookie season of Trevor Lawrence because of, you know, the animosity and just how toxic the environment was under Urban Meyer. How many times did you hear before the 2022 season, oh, this is basically like the rookie season for Trevor Lawrence?
Right.
Well, I got news for you. This really is the rookie season for Anthony Richardson. I don't care how much he retained by observing on the sideline and during classroom work, the man was injured. And you remember from opening day, he made massive rookie mistakes right out of the gate, you know, running out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage. And, you know, for the record, I still think he's got an opportunity to be a really good quarterback. But he basically is a rookie, even more, in my opinion, than what we saw in year two with Trevor Lawrence. And what happened in year two with Trevor Lawrence? Look at all those come-from-behind wins during the second half of the season, including being down 27-0 here against Los Angeles and ended up being a playoff win. So I think that has something to do with it. But, you know, if I'm ranking quarterbacks right now, man, it is a 12-pack argument. It is, man. That is digging your elbows into the bar. Who is better right now, C.J. Stroud or Trevor Lawrence? I know in this city, even though I've watched you go back and forth, I've watched you flip, I still think Trevor would get it by a margin. I don't know if it's 51, 52, 55%. I think it would be over 50. I don't know if that would be the case if we were to go to, I was going to say, all 32 NFL cities. What do we have, 30? Right, because we have two in L.A. and two in New York, New Jersey. If we went to all 30 NFL cities.
Oh, my God, it wouldn't even be close.
I think it would be Stroud because we're so much of a what have you done for me
and
lately.
We're a big stat, you know, when it comes to fantasy football has made everyone obsessed with stats. And if you look at Trevor's stats, no. You know, I mean, just search Trevor Lawrence on Twitter right now. They're comparing him to Daniel Jones' stats through like 50 career starts. It's not great. Mm-hmm. But we know his ceiling is, like, insanely high. But if you're just not watching all the Jags games, like most people aren't, don't blame them. They're not on TV all the time. They're never on national. And so you just see, like, huge struggle fest in the second half of the year, a bunch of turnovers. And you see Stroud in his rookie year, like, destroying people, going to the playoffs with this team who had, like, the worst offensive line in the history of football and not too many weapons around him. I don't blame people for thinking that. I still have Trevor over CJ, but I think that's just because I live here.
Yeah, I don't want to spend a lot of time arguing over this, but I think I would still go Anthony Richardson over Will Levis.
I agree with that.
Levis showed some signs. He had that one just incredible game, I'm trying to remember exactly which one it was. Didn't he throw for like four? It was against Atlanta when he threw four touchdown passes. Okay. That was the one back in late October. Yeah, I'd put Anthony Richardson ahead of Will Levis, but, you know, this is going to be, and it already is, a very exciting division in the NFL. And, you know, you have four quarterbacks all selected in the first round, and it's really incredible how fast things have changed in the AFC South. Just 2 years ago was considered out of the eight divisions really the bottom feeder out of all eight. And right now you can make the case that it's right up there with any other division in the NFL. I mean, you had a couple of playoff teams a year ago, and you had, what, three teams that were in it until week 18, game number 17. So that is certainly promising. Hey, for what it's worth, Pro Football Focus, as we wrap this thought up, and then I want to get to Eric Armstead on the other side. Pro Football Focus, this included re-signing your current players and what you've done 1 week into free agency. And the reason why I raise this is I gave you my opinion a couple of minutes ago. It feels better now for Jacksonville than it did when the season ended. Well, here are the four AFC South grades, according to Pro Football Focus. Take that for what you will. Houston gets an A. Tennessee, a B. Indianapolis, a B minus. Your Jacksonville Jaguars, a C plus. It's only one entity's grades, but do you consider them that far off from the other three teams in the AFC South? To me, that is a little bit of a surprise. It feels like they put a lot of emphasis on re-signing their own players. As a matter of fact, I don't know this, but I almost feel as though if Calvin Ridley had stayed, that C-plus would be a B. I feel pretty comfortable about that. I don't know that.
Absolutely.
I'm just assuming that that would be the case. But because I've looked at all of the grades here with Pro Football Focus, and again, they're real big on re-signing what would have been their own team's free agents, not only the ones they went out and brought in. I'm not surprised by what Houston has done here. They really did a great job defensively with this football team. All right, tonight's show brought to you by the good folks over at Patriot Roofing. That is Patriot Roofing Services, specializing in all types of commercial, residential roofing and repairs, gutters, sun tubes, skylights, 10-year workmanship warranty, financing available, discounts for military and senior citizen. All right, no subcontractors. You deal with my buddy. He is Mark Tozzolo. Give him a call anytime. 982-4052. Licensed and insured. Best bet, just check him out online. Go to Patriot Roofing. Whether it's your current roof that needs a repair or a new roof, okay? Doesn't matter. They have you covered at Patriot Roofing. Whether it is your home or your business, go to Patriot Roofing online. On the other side, let's go to Eric Armstead. Keep you updated as to, or we have the latest as far as his numbers over the next 3 years. It's basically a 2-year contract for the defensive tackle who met with the media this past Monday. So we'll come back. We'll do that. JJ and I are going to fill out our bracket. That'll be coming up next hour. We have some college basketball to get in as well in our second hour. And I got some news on Florida State, who officially opened up their spring practice yesterday, including some weight gain for some players that is very inspiring. Absolutely. Patrick Payton. Have you seen what he has done to his body? If you have not, good. I'll let you know about it. And that's coming up.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's get you caught up on the very latest with Eric Armstead. He met with us on Monday via Zoom, and the contract details are now out. I'm going to get there in 1 minute, but I want you to hear this story for those of you who weren't aware of this, Adam Schefter, obviously with ESPN, on his podcast had this to say about the recent journey of Eric Armstead.
Eric Armstead at one point had what I think he thought was an agreement with the Houston Texans and flew down to Houston only to find out when he landed that the Houston Texans were going to go sign Danielle Hunter instead. And so that deal is off. So Eric Armstead then had to go find a new home. And he did. Mm-hmm. He found a new home in Buffalo. And they had the framework of an agreement in place where he would go to Buffalo. But then someone stepped in with a better offer and Jacksonville got a deal done. And so Eric Armstead might be the only player in free agency this year that had the frameworks of three different agreements with three different teams. First Houston, then Buffalo, then finally Jacksonville, where he goes and is reunited with the man that drafted him in San Francisco, the Jaguars general manager, Trent Baalke. And it is, to me, symbolic of the way that the week works in many ways. People say things and do other things.
Interesting. Very, very much so, in my opinion. So good stuff there from Adam Schefter. Let's take a look at the contract when it comes to Eric Armstead. We had heard 3 years, $51 million. According to SpotTrack, it's 3 years, $43.5 million. $28 million of that is guaranteed. And I understand you as a very good and savvy football audience understands that you don't look at the total money. You look at the guaranteed money, right? It's $28 million is what is there for Eric Armstead. It's a three-year contract, which has three voidable years, okay, in 2027, 2028, and 2029. So here's the way things look for Armstead. His cap hit this year is only $4.5 million. It's a really nice job that has been done by Trent Baalke. I have these figures for cap hits for 2024 of the newly acquired free agents, okay? Mitch Morris, $2,650,000 for a starting center. Wow. Gabe Davis, $4,700,000. Darnell Savage, $3,460,000. And the trade that was made for Mac Jones, his cap figure this year is going to be $2,650,000. I haven't seen the numbers on Gibson, who they picked up, the kicker, who they just added. I haven't seen the terms on Devin Duvernay, and I haven't yet seen them on Ronald Darby. But anyway, he's really done a nice job here, in my opinion. Trent Baalke assembling the newest free agents who are now part of your Jacksonville Jaguars. So this is the way that the cap number reads for really the 2 years. And then there's going to be dead cap money, as you know, in 2026. So it'll be $4.5 million this year for Eric Armstead. He'll play 2025 with a cap figure of $7.4 million. What gets really interesting is when you get to year three of the deal, that is 2026, he's got a cap figure of $19,400,000. So he is a primary target to be cut before the 2026 season. I read somewhere, I think it was John Shipley's bit that he put out earlier today. It was Shipley, that Armstead could be hit with a post-June 1st designation and save $14.5 million while you would spread out $17.2 million dead cap money over two seasons. So that would be roughly, you know, $8.5 million dead cap over the 2026-2027 season. There is going to be some dead cap that is coming, and that's okay. I mean, every team deals with that. It's about managing it as you move forward. You look at the 2024 Jaguars and where they sit right now. I have them unofficially. This is over to thecap.com. I have them at, or they have them at $12,700,000 remaining. You're going to need around 8,000. You're going to need about 8 million, 9 million for your rookie contracts, right? So you still have time to sign another player if you would like. And there still really is the possibility of restructuring three big contracts. I mean, Christian Kirk is carrying a cap number of $24,236,000 for a slot wide receiver. They can definitely redo that. Cam Robinson is carrying a cap number of $21,900,000. Foye Oluokun is carrying a cap figure of $21,750,000. You can restructure all three of those. And why would you do that? Well, you want to pay Trevor Lawrence now. I don't. Do they? I absolutely don't. Maybe they want to get a deal done with Tyson Campbell. Maybe they want to get a deal done with Andre Sisco. Maybe, and expected it's going to happen, right? By July 15th, they're absolutely going to get a deal done with Josh Allen, whose cap figure is $24 million. You redo a deal with him, give him 4 years, $100 million, or whatever the heck it's going to be. It'll lower the cap number this year. It's going to be bigger in 25, 26, 27, etc. But that's this game of the salary cap. And my goodness, man, what do we have, a $30 million increase this year? It was absolutely crazy with what we saw. The salary cap up to $255.4 million. That's just nuts. Jacksonville's in pretty good shape. Their dead cap money right now is $17,900,000. For those of you who do not know, and I believe most of you do, the dead cap money only applies to the salary cap. Your $255.4 million salary cap, you have to put into that the dead cap money of $17,910,000. That goes into your salary cap. Big Foley, nearly $10 million. Rayshon Jenkins, 7.1. Again, Darius Williams only cost you 500 large. And then guys like Willie Johnson, Jordan Smith, Snoop Connor, Jamichael Hasty, Eric Hallett, all between $100,000 and $188,000, which is absolutely nothing in the world of the salary cap. Let's get ready for our second hour. Let's do that. 641-1010 if you'd like to join us here on Into the Night with Rick Ballew and J.J. Wasalva. Got more football news. A proposal's on the table to change things around as far as the kickoff. If you haven't heard this, we'll just think the XFL. If you don't watch the XFL, I'll explain it to you. And it's time to go from 64-4 and an eventual national champion in college basketball. Ballew and Wasalva will make our picks. It's all part of our number two.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
.725 to go, first half. Montana State up 24-19 over Grambling. Timeout on the floor coming up at 9:10 tonight. Colorado, Boise State. Colorado favored by 3.5. The winner of that game will get the Florida Gators around 4:30 on Friday. JJ and I are going to make our picks in about 20 minutes. Tomorrow, join us for the games. I'll be out there 6 to 8, Hacker Nation at 8. That's Mr. Chubby's Wings in Fleming Island. So hopefully you can come on by. If you live out around there, always a lot of fun. No doubt about it. That is coming up tomorrow night. All right, I'm going to get to this new kickoff change proposal here in just a minute, but I hinted with this a little bit earlier on. I want to give you a couple of noticeable weight changes with Florida State camp now underway. JJ and I were talking about a little bit yesterday. Even though I watched him at Clemson, and I happen to be one of those who love Pac-12 after dark, watched him at Oregon State, DJ Uiagalelei, I never knew he was plus 250. 252 last year. He's up to 255. looking at that on paper, it screams too much. It does. But he's not. I mean, once he gets going, he moves. And I remember him early on at Clemson, that Notre Dame game, and what have you. It doesn't seem like it is a problem. And I've seen him viral since he's been in Tallahassee. It doesn't look like he's carrying around bad weight. He is 6'4". Just a really big guy at 255 pounds. Guy I'm really fascinated about offensively is Cam Davis, 221 pounds, running back, four-star. I think he's going to get an opportunity right out of the gate. You know, Toa Feely is going to be the go-to guy coming off of surgery. He's up 8 pounds to 196. And, yeah, I don't know much about Roydell Williams out of Alabama. He's gone from 214 to 225. So there's a big back. A couple of guys that I looked at that I thought were really interesting. You know, I can go up and down here on the wide receivers. I'm really not, because they're basically around the same. You know, as far as wide receivers at Florida State, Ja'Kai Douglas has some receptions. Everyone else, the names are recognizable, but the production we haven't seen. I mean, look at the numbers with Deuce Spawn and Kentron Portier and Darian Williamson. You know, the hype on Hakeem Williams, the hype on Jacobs, Destin Hill. I mean, last year it's always, and he was the number three guy talked about behind Coleman and Wilson. It just didn't work out. I hope it does. And then, of course, they brought in some guys, including Malik Benson, via the transfer portal. But their weights are basically all the same. The one that really got me in a positive way is Patrick Payton. Okay, he's gone from 239 pounds to 254 pounds. And when they came here last year, last July over at UNF, his body shape, his structure is really imposing. I mean, you just look at this guy. He's a young kid. I mean, this was last year, so he's a year older now, but I'm guessing he's 20. You can just look at his body and tell, man, that he's got an opportunity to really add weight to that body. There's so much length that is there. And, you know, he's up 15 pounds. So I made the comment last year, and hopefully I'm around long, you know, through it and long after it to discuss. But I said I think he's going to be a better NFL player than Jared Verse. Most people out there would totally argue with me on that. We'll see. Verse had a very good year. He disappeared at times. I know he did other things and just rushed the passer. But Patrick Payton from 239 to 254, I like. I also like Marvin Jones Jr. from 250 to 257. It's time for Jr., right? Didn't do much at all at Georgia as the heralded five-star recruit. Daddy, the great shade tree, Marvin Jones, what an incredible opportunity. You know, if you're Marvin Jones Jr., if you're a Florida State fan, you want him to play so well this year that he's gone. That he plays one season and he goes to the NFL. I mean, honestly, you don't want it to be a work in progress. You don't want it to be, oh, you know, he's learning. And no, you want him to be spectacular. You want him to be Jared Versa 2 years ago. Lamont Green's a guy I'm secretly hoping for. I just don't know if he can add any weight, man. He's gone from 223 to 227. And, you know, he's another legacy. His dad was like one of the highest recruited linebackers ever at Florida State. I mean, as highly recruited as Ernie Sims or Marvin Jones Jr. Or Marvin Jones, I should say. He was like Mr. USA Today. And he had a decent career, but it wasn't a spectacular one. Now his son is up. Redshirt freshman, only up to 227. So there's room there for someone else. Don't know who that's going to be. Byron Turner, 251. Really not blown away with his play last year. They absolutely could use someone else there. And you know, they got a couple of transfers. I think it's Lahaya is the guy that they're pretty heavy on. He's actually lost weight down to 260 pounds. Final group I want to talk about is the one that I think is the biggest concern for Florida State. Okay. Obviously, DJ Uiagalelei, whether or not he could play or not, is the number one story. And then when you lose Benson and you lose Bell and you lose Wilson and you lose Coleman and you lose three-fifths of that offensive line, people are going to wonder about the offense and their production to begin with. I just took you through wide receiver. The names are there. The production has not been there. So you're going to need some of those guys to step up. And, you know, it's tough to nitpick when you won, what, 19 straight? When they won every game before the bowl? But my biggest complaint was others didn't get involved who weren't named Bell, Coleman, and Wilson. I wish others got involved. Now here it is a year later, it's time for the others who were not involved. Can they get involved now? Linebacker's the problem. Enough cannot be said about those two outstanding linebackers that FSU had a year ago. They were simply outstanding. And, you know, they've tried to do everything they can, getting Sean Murphy out of Alabama. He's a sophomore. DJ Lundy returned after flirting with going to Colorado. He's actually down 4 pounds. DJ Lundy's okay against the run, but often over-pursued ball carriers. Omar Graham was bad. There's no other way for me to say it. I refuse to do a radio show and not tell the truth. He was bad. Okay? He's put on 3 pounds. Blake Nicholson, he's up to 220. Okay? He's only a redshirt freshman. But he's hyped. We haven't seen it. Justin Cryer, we haven't seen it. DeMarco Ward, we haven't seen it. I'm talking about freshmen and redshirt freshmen here. That is the biggest problem that they have. Linebacker. And I get it. They play a 4-2-5. Can you get a couple of linebackers, right? Only time will tell. But that is the very latest there with Florida State. So apparently a pretty good offseason. Camp now underway. Well, as a matter of fact, my buddy Niall Lawrence Stample is going to join me tomorrow. Get you caught up on the very latest as far as spring ball and talk to him about the early beginning of Florida State spring ball, which in fact did kick off this past Tuesday. All right, let me give you this before we make our selection. I'm not a fan of change in most things, athletically speaking. Certainly the NFL, to me, more than any other sport, is one that should just leave it alone because the NFL works. But I'm wrestling with the latest, and it's basically taking away from what the XFL has used as far as revamping the kickoff, right? And the NFL Competition Committee has spoken about this. It'll be discussed next week during the NFL's owners' meetings. You're going to need 24 of the 32 votes. For those of you who are not familiar, and just about all of you are, this has been an ongoing story for the past decade. Concussions. They cite that the most explosive play in professional football is the kick return. So they've done everything that they can to eliminate that, right? We've seen massive reduction in kick returns, and the end result is we've also, thankfully, seen a reduction with concussions, certainly in this aspect of what we're seeing in the NFL. Not overall, but in this aspect. All right, so here's what is going to be thrown out there for conversation with the NFL owners. The kicker would continue to kick off from the 35, but the other 10 players on the kicking team would line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. Okay? Not the kicking team's 40-yard line, which would be up 5 yards. We're talking about the receiving team's 40-yard line. At least 9 members of the return team would line up in a quote-unquote set-up zone between the 35 and 30-yard line, and up to 2 returners can line up in the landing zone, which is between the goal line and 20-yard line. Now, no one can move outside of the kicker and the returner or 2 returners until the ball hits the ground or is received by a player inside the landing zone. The reason why it's written like that, you can't fake an onside kick. You can't bloop one, 5 yards over where the defensive players are lined up. You can't do any of that type of nonsense, right? Touchbacks would be marked at the 35-yard line. There would be no fair catches at all, all right? Now, you also cannot attempt an onside kick. Only you are allowed to attempt an onside kick if you inform the officials that you intend to have an onside kick. And if that is the case, then you will go back to the traditional formation that the NFL has used for years when it comes to the onside kick. I am not clear on if it's the new rule where you can't overlap with more to either the left or right of the kicker, depending on which way the ball is going. Remember how they eliminated that rule? You got to have an even number now to the left or right side. I would believe that that is still the case, but I don't know. I looked in a couple of different places, and I couldn't get any language on that particular. But in the XFL, this worked. And more than 90% of the time, the kickoffs were returned. So by adding this new rule, you brought back the excitement of the kick return. I will say, it's pretty incredible that I don't hear enough negativity about this, because just think about leading up to kick. And I know taking the field in college is a totally different animal than running out of the tunnel and taking the field in pro. I mean, typically they introduce the offense or defense, and it's just a little bit different, but it's still very exciting. But just think about the anticipation of kickoff and everything that leads up to it. It's the only time during the game where everyone in the crowd is standing up. And what happens? Touchback. I mean, it's like the pinnacle of the game. Even the Super Bowl, everyone's flashing bulbs, and here we go. It's the start of Super Bowl 50. It's a touchback. It's like, it's like getting hit with a 2x4 right across your forehead. It's like a shot. Wow. The ultimate high. And let's face it, returning kicks is so awesome. It sets the tone, whether you make a big hit or on the flip side, you get a good return. I mean, it's just, who doesn't love the kick return? And it's been gone. So they're saying now in the XFL, 90% of the kickoffs are actually taking place. Granted, they're under a totally different set of circumstances where you can't build up all that speed. Remember, the NFL, they eliminated the wedge. They moved it from the 30 to the 35. They're now allowing fair catches where you can, from anywhere, once you get the ball, you can wave your hand and get it at the 25-yard line. I mean, you can catch it at the 7-yard line with a fair catch on a kick and get it at your 25. Touchback rates dramatically increased over last year, and it went to 21.7% for the 2023 NFL season. So less than 1 out of every 4 kickoffs are returned, and of course, concussions have dropped as well. I don't know how I feel about this. I tell you what, I hate that whole thing about you can score and instead of an onside kick, you get a fourth and 15 with a one-time shot. I hate that because the defense is already tired and you're making a comeback out. That may be revisited. That's bad. This, I think I could agree to. I think I could understand why they want to bring this back. Although it's not going to be the way it once was, lining up at the 40. If you want to give us your opinion on that, we would love to hear from you. 641-1010. That is on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. All right, coming up next, let's go through the bracket. 1 through 64, we'll take it to the national title. Blue and La Selva, that is next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tomorrow night, Mr. Chubby, 6 to 8, Fleming Island. I'll be out there. Hacker Nation will join you at 8 o'clock from Mr. Chubby's Wings, Fleming Island. Let's go through it. Let's begin in the East. We got to be quick because we're tight on time. You are up first. JJ, take us through the Eastern bracket.
All right, I have UConn, FAU, San Diego State, Auburn, Duquesne, Illinois, Washington State, and Iowa State advancing to the next round.
I have everything that you have outside of Duquesne. I am taking BYU. Let's go to the West. I'll go UNC, Michigan State, St. Mary's, Bama, Clemson, Baylor, Nevada, Arizona. How about you?
Exactly the same.
Let's go out south. You are up.
All right, south I have Houston, the number one seed, Texas A&M, James Madison, a 12 over 5. I have Duke, Texas Tech, Kentucky, of course the Florida Gators, and I have Marquette.
I'm going Houston. I'm taking Nebraska. How about that? Wisconsin, Duke, Texas Tech, Kentucky, Florida, and Marquette. To the Midwest, I will take Purdue. I will take TCU, Gonzaga, Kansas, South Carolina, Creighton, Texas, and Tennessee.
I only have one difference. I have Oregon knocking off South Carolina, which we've had an 11 knock off a 6 seed like a million years in a row. That's the only reason I picked.
All right, let's begin with you. Let's go back to the East. This is to advance to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I have UConn beating FAU. I have Auburn beating San Diego State. I have the Illini beating Duquesne, and I have Iowa State knocking off Washington.
I have 4 for 4, the same as you. I have Carolina over Michigan State. I really struggled here with St. Mary's with Bama. I just watched St. Mary's play a couple of games against Gonzaga, but I'm going to take Bama, I'm going to take Baylor, and I'm going to take Arizona.
Same.
All right, let's go to you out south.
I have Houston knocking off Texas A&M. I have Duke beating James Madison. Kentucky beating Texas Tech, and the Florida Gators beating Marquette.
I have Houston, Duke, Kentucky. I have Marquette knocking off Florida. To the Midwest, I have Purdue, Kansas, Creighton, and Tennessee.
I have Oregon beating Creighton, but besides that, we're the same.
All right, let's get to the final four. You are up.
I have UConn knocking off Iowa State in the round of eight, the Elite Eight, excuse me. I have UNC knocking off Arizona. I have Duke knocking off Kentucky. Actually, we skipped around.
Yeah, let's get to the Elite Eight.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry. So I have, I have UConn beating Auburn. I have Illinois losing to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
I have UNC beating Alabama. I have Arizona knocking off Baylor. I have Tennessee beating Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Kansas upsetting Purdue.
Wow.
I have Florida finally getting knocked off against Kentucky, and I have Duke beating Houston.
Pretty interesting stuff. I'm taking Connecticut and Iowa State to advance out east.
Mm-hmm.
To the west, I have UNC and Arizona. We go to the south, I have Houston and Kentucky. And the Midwest, I'm going Purdue and I'm going Creighton. Let's get to the final four. You're up.
All right, I have, we'll start in the East. Yeah, I have UConn beating Iowa State, North Carolina beating Arizona, Duke beating Kentucky, and Tennessee beating Kansas. So I have UNC, UConn, Duke, and Tennessee.
In your national,
I went pretty chalky.
In your national title.
UNC versus Duke.
Champion?
That would be epic. I'm going to go with the Tar Heels.
I am going to take Iowa State over Connecticut. I'm taking UNC over Arizona. taking Houston over Kentucky, taking Creighton over Purdue.
Creighton.
I am taking Iowa State over UNC, and I am taking Houston over Creighton, the national champion in Phoenix on April 8th, taking Iowa State over
Love
Houston.
Love that. Now, one of us is going to be screwed immediately with Creighton because
no doubt.
Have them losing in the second game and you have them going pretty much all the way.
Yeah. I just figured, I mean, I put a lot of chalk, as most of us do, but I figured, I mean, I never thought there would be a time where I would honestly have Iowa State, Houston, and Creighton in my Final Four.
I mean, look at the Final Four last year. It was like FAU, Miami, San Diego State, right?
Yeah.
And UConn.
So why not? Let's have a little bit of fun with it. And, you know, everyone's filling out their bracket and make the best of it. And best of luck to you. Let's give you an update on, well, it's now halftime in the Midwest region. It is Montana State up 42-33 against Grambling. Coming up at 9:10 tonight, it's Colorado and Boise State. The winner of that game will get Florida. That game is expected to tip off Friday at around 4:30. So, again, the winner of this game will take on the Gators coming up on Friday afternoon. All right, let's put our final spin on this one. Get you ready for Hacker Nation, who will join you at 8 o'clock again tomorrow. If you're out and about, certainly in those parts around Fleming Island, we'll be doing our show Thursday, which is tomorrow, 6 to 8. I'll be out there. And then Hacker's going to join you from 8 until 10 o'clock. So, you know, by the time I get on, four games will be final, four will be wrapping up. We'll have four tipping off and then four late night. So,
and if you bring your bracket, your 1010XL bracket, to the bar and you show them that you won a game that just ended, you get a free beer.
How about that?
I love that. Because you could have like three games ending in like a 20 or 30 minute span. So,
yeah, let me see. It all begins tomorrow at 12:15 with Michigan State and Mississippi State. 12:40 is Duquesne and BYU. 1:30, Akron and Creighton.
Yeah, so like in an hour, you could have three winners.
Right.
You know?
Long Beach, Arizona. Long Beach State, Arizona. So those four will be final by the time I go on the air. Also, that Wagner, North Carolina game will probably be over as well. Morehead State, Illinois. And then you got Oregon, South Carolina, Nevada, Dayton, Colorado State, Texas, Oakland against Kentucky, McNeese, Gonzaga, South Dakota State, Iowa State, and then late night tomorrow, St. Peter's in Tennessee, North Carolina State and Texas Tech, Samford in Kansas. Kansas Smith is one of their really good players out for the entire tournament, and Drake in Washington State will be the final game to tip off. That'll be at 10:05 our time, coming up on Thursday night. All right, we got much more to do. Take you up till 8 o'clock right here on a Wednesday edition. It's great to have you with us.
You can bet the game on Hard Rock Bet. No more betting inside your head.
Now Hard Rock Bet is legal in Florida. Now Hard Rock Bet is legal in Florida.
Legal in Florida.
It's safe, it's legal. We'll repeat that, it is legal.
Top-rated sportsbook, and it's the only one that's legal.
Get a no-regret first bet up to $100 when you sign up now. Offered by the Seminole Tribe.
Jacksonville Jaguars, protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we've been so busy, we didn't even talk about it. It happened while we were on the air, but Otani's interpreter has been fired now. Apparently, he stole $4.5 million. And he will bunk with Amit Patel at the next prison near you. We know Patel will hold the book. And by the looks of Otani's interpreter, he'll be passed around for a pack of smokes.
So. Now, he's like good friends with Otani. So
oh,
I'll
what
be
a
interested
great friend.
To see if like he actually, you know, if Otani pushes for him to get in trouble for this. It could just be like, hey, sorry, man. I won't do it again.
What a great friend.
Yeah.
So
the story is he originally like wired him like $500K, Otani did, and was like, hey, don't do this again. This is just a friend like helping a friend pay back alone or whatever. But apparently it was a lot more than that.
I'm just reading the story. What do you believe? All right, it says he had been paid between $300,000 and $500,000 a year.
From the Dodgers, yeah.
That's pretty, from the Angels.
Or, yeah, and now the Dodgers.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to dive into this a little bit deeper. We'll have more time to talk about this in the future. I mean, what an easy gig. I mean, he's only made available when you want to make him available. And the way that baseball used to be, you could go into the locker room before batting practice and talk to him out at the batting cage. I don't even know if that's the same set of circumstances. But obviously, we saw it with Ichiro 25 years ago, and we've seen it now. It's changed when you do not speak English. And
Ohtani rarely does interviews anyway.
Yeah. Gosh. All right, so we'll learn more about this. This will be an ongoing story, but apparently he's stolen $4.5 million in wire transfers. Hacker Nation, coming up right now, your last show here before you and I go our way to Mr. Chubby's Wings out in Fleming Island tomorrow night.
Yeah, be a lot of fun, man. Really love the tournament and excited to see tonight who Florida's going to play. Quick turnaround for either Colorado or Boise State. Figure the game ends at 11:30 Eastern. They're probably on a plane at 1, get into Indianapolis at 3, and they're turning around and playing the Gators 36 hours later. So we'll see what happens on Friday when it comes to Florida.
We are just underway second half. All the excitement of Montana State and Grambling, 46-33 Montana State. So that'll wrap up shortly after 9 o'clock tonight. Colorado-Boise State should tip off.
Yeah, and look, I think Gator fans probably want to watch it a little bit, do a little scouting, if you will. I'm in the process of filling out my bracket. I'm a little late to the party here. But I tell you what, man, I'm about through the Sweet 16. Got an awful lot of chalk. Don't have a lot of high seeds that are advancing, so I don't see a lot of upsets. Hopefully I'm wrong. Upsets are what make the tournament, but I think a lot of these better teams are going to have an easy time of it, at least to the second weekend.
Yeah, they've all had good years, but I took non powers, so to speak, year in, year out in college basketball. My Final Four, I have Iowa State, Houston, and Creighton.
Wow. Yeah.
Why not?
No, it'd be good. I mean, based on last year, well, you had Miami and San Diego State and
why not?
Florida yeah. Atlantic, so that certainly wouldn't be unprecedented.
All right, what's up tonight?
Yeah, obviously, we're going to do some NCAA tournament talk. We're going to do some NFL talk as well. Jordan DeJani of CBS Sports, he's actually based up in Nashville. So we're going to do kind of an AFC South look around at how the South teams did in free agency. And then we'll go to Gainesville. Andrew Spivey, GatorCountry.com, as we'll preview Florida, life after Micah Hanlockton begins on Friday for the Gators, again, against the winner of tonight's game between Boise State and Colorado.
All right, Hack will keep you updated on that game as well. Have a lot of fun tonight.
Thanks, Rick.
See you out there tomorrow at Mr. Chubby's, Fleming Island. We'll be out there 6 to 10. Yours truly, 6 to 8, Hacker 8 to 10. The 4751 is going to close the show tonight by saying this. Amit Patel is like $4.5 million only. That's just a Monday Night Football teaser. That was good. I don't think any of us can match that. That's going to do it. Again, join us tomorrow, 6 to 10. We'll be out at Mr. Chubby's Wings out at the Fleming Island location. Thank you to JJ LaSalva. My name is Rick Bono. Check the text line out. The show is over. You can always get me on Twitter at Blue1010XL. Have a great night.